Well, it is an honor again for me to be with you on this Lord's Day morning, on this Sunday. I'm honored by your presence, and I know that God is honored by our being here, each and every one of us, every individual, every family, represented here on this Lord's Day morning. We're grateful to be here. My wife, Shana, as Wayne has mentioned, is with me, and two of our three daughters, McKenna and Connor. And we've enjoyed every moment of our time together. We've got a wonderful number gathered here this morning, and I know that our purpose is to worship our God in spirit and in truth. I can't think of a more appropriate place to begin this morning, even though it's not directly tied to our sermon, than John 4, 23 and 24. There our Lord and Savior said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. We are those true worshipers, brethren and friends, and our purpose is to worship God in spirit and in truth. We've been doing such, and I know that we'll continue to do such throughout the remainder of our time together. And again, we're grateful for your having gathered here, honoring our responsibility on the Lord's Day, Sunday, the first day of the week. I join with Brother Wayne in welcoming each of you to this assembly. A pleasure for us to be here. And again, our potluck following this service, and then our 2 p.m. service. Then following that, and a little time visiting with one another, our family is going to be taking off and driving back to Birmingham, and we invite you to keep us in your prayers as we travel this afternoon. We'll get back with our work there, and we'll be praying for you, for your work here at Horse Cave. But it's been a delight and a pleasure to be with you Friday, Saturday, and today. And we just started today. We've got more of the day ahead of us, but a beautiful day indeed, and a great time together. Our thanks also to Brother Carter for leading our sing. Great job. And Brother Pennell, is that right on the name or close to it on the prayer? Pennell, excuse me. Had a P rather than a B. Excuse me for that, Brother Pennell. But appreciate that prayer, one we could all say amen to. And we're delighted to be together, to pray together, to sing together, to give together, to partake of the cup and of the bread together, and now to join in the hearing and the preaching of God's Word. The theme that I've selected for this hour is simply titled, A Growing Church. A Growing Church. And I want to begin by telling you, brothers and friends, that I am convinced, utterly convinced, that there are characteristics, there are qualities that are common to growing churches that if we will identify these and adopt these, I believe we too can grow as brethren grew, as folks grew in the first century. Again, there's something on us. There's something required of us, and that is that we identify and then adopt these characteristics, these qualities that they shared back then. Now, when I talk about growth, I'm talking about true growth. I'm talking about spiritual growth that leads to numerical growth. And I will give you my judgment from studying the Word of God that numerical growth always, without exception, follows spiritual growth. You can't turn that around. You don't get the numerical growth and then get the spiritual growth. You've got to begin with the spiritual growth, and then the Lord will bless us with numerical growth. And I want to give you just one example of many examples of this in the New Testament, primarily in the book of Acts. Turn with me, please, if you care to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and in verse 5, here's what we read in our Bibles, your Bible, and in mine. And so the churches were established, your translation may read, strengthened in the faith. Watch it now. And increased in number daily. What happened now? And so the churches were established in the faith. That is spiritual growth. And then what happened? They increased in number daily. The spiritual growth followed by the numerical growth. And I dare say that that is the order, always the order, in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. Spiritual growth, then numerical growth. We want to grow. I believe that you here at Horse Cave want to grow numerically. We at Shades Mountain, where I work and worship week in and week out, we want to grow numerically. But we understand that it must begin with spiritual growth, and then the numerical growth will follow biblically and naturally. Now, people can reverse that. People can go their own way. People can do their own thing. And they might swell in numbers, Tom, but they won't grow in a biblical fashion. They won't grow as God would have us grow. They may think that God is blessing them, but all they're doing is swelling in numbers. Why? Because they're appealing to the carnal, to the sensual, even to the sexual, in so many assemblies, so many congregations around the country. And in doing such, they're violating the Word of God, and they're swelling in numbers, but they do not represent, man, and they do not represent a growing church. So this morning, in the time that we have remaining, I'd like to share with you just 3 points under the title of a growing church. And those 3 points will represent 3 characteristics, 3 qualities, if you will, of a growing church. Now, there are many, many more, but we'll have time to cover just 3 before our time is up. And I invite your careful attention with an open mind and an open Bible. I know you already have that, an open mind and open Bible, to the Word of God. As we let God speak to us through His Word about the characteristics, the qualities that are necessary for us to grow as He would have us to grow. Again, I know that we want to grow right here. This is a good number this morning. I know that you'll have a good number next week. I know we'll have a good number this afternoon. If you can at all stay for the potluck and then for the 2 p.m. service, then please do. Let's eat together. Let's fellowship together socially, then come back together at 2 p.m. and gather together and fellowship religiously, spiritually, for about an hour. Then you can go to your respective places of abode, enjoy your afternoon with family and friends, and then look forward to coming together again at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. I know that you've already made that determination. I want to exhort you and encourage you to hold on to that. And stay for the potluck, if at all possible. Stay for the 2 p.m. service. And we'll talk at that time, at 2 p.m. I'll be preaching under the title of How to Stay Saved. Now that we're saved, how do we stay saved? We'll spend a little while, about an hour together then, in all the 5 acts of worship prescribed in Scripture. Then we'll put an amen to it, and the sermon and the worship will be yours. But this morning, 3 points under the title of a growing church, brethren and friends. Point number 1, characteristic number 1, quality number 1 of a growing church is, a growing church is a devoted church. A growing church is a devoted church. Go with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and verses 41 and 42 say in your Bible and in mine, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and that same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That is the beginning of the Church of Christ, right there in the city of Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. Now look at the following verse. Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. Your translation may read, they continued devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. 3 acts of worship right there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. But we're highlighting the first part of that. And they continued steadfastly. They continued devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine. A growing church is a devoted church. And a devoted church is a growing church. And by devoted, brethren and friends, I simply mean devoted to God and His Word. If we would grow here at Horse Cave, down at Shades Mountain, and we literally are on Shades Mountain in Birmingham, Alabama, then we must be devoted to God and His Word. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We can't go our own way. We can't do our own thing. We've got to do things God's way. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but by way of reminder, and reminders are always, I believe, appreciated. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Peter said, I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you anyway. I know you're established in the present truth, but I want to remind you and encourage you anyway. So I'm going to take the same tack this morning. and remind you. I know that you're established in the faith. I know you know these things, but by way of reminder, let us be devoted to God and to His Word. Now, add to that 2 John verse 9, where John said, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son," 2 John verse 9. That is devotion to God and His Word. When we are devoted to God, we will grow. Because a growing church is a devoted church, and a devoted church is a growing church. If I might, let me build upon that before we go to our second, our 3 points this morning. A devoted church is one that is not distracted, Wayne, not distracted by the fads of the day. Whether those fads be secular or religious. But so many of our brethren have gone that direction. Whatever is going on down the street, they got to have a piece of that. They want a little bit of that. They want a part of that. They want to partake of that. And it's not always what another congregation of the Lord's church is doing. Sometimes they look out among the denominations and they say, well, they're doing this down there, and they're doing that over there. And if we would do that, we could grow like they're growing. Wrong attitude, wrong action, bad advice, wrong way to go. Let us be a growing church, but let us be a growing church because we are devoted solely to God and His Word in the realm of religion. Now, you understand, and I do. I'm devoted to my wife, Shana. She's devoted to me. We're devoted to our three girls. I'm devoted to my parents and her parents, and likewise on her part. We're devoted to our brethren at Shades Mountain. We're devoted to our friends and family members. We have all kinds of devotions, Rex, in this world, and rightfully so. But no devotion, none whatsoever, can take precedence over our devotion to God and His Word. And if we want to grow, and we do, I'm not ashamed about it. I want the Shades Mountain Church of Christ, and I want for you the Horse Cave Church of Christ, I want us to grow and to grow numerically. But when we grow numerically, to grow numerically, we must grow first spiritually. We've got to do things in God's way, according to His will, and we've got to do them on His time frame. And remembering that we can't get caught up or distracted by the fads of the day. One comes and then it's gone. Another takes its place. And then there's another fad. Oh, you know, we used to do this. And I'm not suggesting to you that some change is wrong in and of itself. Not at all. But we can't afford to be distracted from God's Word and drawn to the fads of this day that will lead us away from devotion to God and His Word. I might add to that, that a devoted church is a growing church. A growing church is a devoted church. And a devoted church realizes that gimmicks and cosmetics do not build a strong church. Gimmicks and cosmetics do not build a strong church. There is a denominational church in Birmingham, technically in Hoover, that have installed a slide. I kid you not. No exaggeration, no hyperbole on my part. They've installed a slide, Clayton, so that the kids can leave class and slide into the foyer area before they go to the auditorium. Now, what about that? Now, I'm sure that's a lot of fun. When I was a kid, we went to Six Flags over Mid-America up in St. Louis on a vacation, and I don't guess they have this now. I haven't been there in decades, but you got on an old tow sack, and anybody, I imagine everyone here knows what a tow sack is. At least that's what we call them on the farm in Arkansas. You got up on a big slide, several spaces wide. My dad got on one side of me and another family member on the other. Everybody got on a tow slack, a sack, and you slid down. And you know, it was a lot of fun. Quite a bit of fun. I don't know whether the people would appreciate it today, but you hit some pretty good speeds. I used to slide down a little slope that I had made with my cousin into the Leaden Pullet River. We might be working out of the farm, hauling some hay, Clayton, and then we got a little hot. And Dad gave us the go-ahead, and we would just shuck off our Western boots, our cowboy boots, roll up our pants a little bit, peel off our shirt, slide out in the river, mess around a little bit, climb up the bank, get back to work. Couldn't stay down there too long, but on a hot day, pushing 100, you can appreciate a little cool water flowing out of Missouri into Arkansas, into Randolph County. Now, that's a lot of fun. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I would not advise y'all, Wayne, to have anything. I don't know that I would appreciate Wayne sliding into the pulpit here. And I know my brother at Shades Mountain would not appreciate Mel Fuqua sliding in the pulpit there. Here comes Wayne. Bam! Here comes Mel sliding into the pulpit. Now, Brother Mel, that's silly. Sure it is. That's the height of silliness. But a lot of folks are going in that direction, or maybe to a lesser degree. But they're being caught up in the fads of the day. And somehow they bought into the idea that this gimmick or that gadget or this cosmetic will build a strong church. Now, I complimented you last night, and I did it from the heart, and I'll do so again. You have a very, very practical and attractive and well-maintained building and grounds. I kid you not. I travel very widely among our brethren, among churches of Christ. I'll do 12 or 15 gospel meetings a year, and summer series, and vacation Bible schools, and weddings, and funerals, and teacher banquets, and this and that. And I'm in scores of church buildings all over the brotherhood during the course of a year. Many of them are not well maintained at all. This is very attractive, very usable, very user-friendly, very well maintained. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. And you've been good stewards of what we have right here. But you could push that in the wrong direction. And you could go towards gimmicks and cosmetics, and therefore, I believe, displease our God. If we're going to grow, we must be devoted to God and His Word. It is not gimmicks and cosmetics that build a strong church, but the gospel and Jesus the Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." That's what it's all about. And in Romans 1:16, there the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith," Romans 1:16 and 17. If we want to grow, we must be devoted to God and His Word. And gimmicks and gadgets and cosmetics won't do that, and they won't please God. But the gospel, the unadulterated gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and again, Jesus Himself taking preeminence and precedence in our lives, we will grow and grow and grow. Point number two, our 3 points this morning under the title of A Growing Church. Point number two, quality number two, characteristic number two of a growing church is, a growing church is a working church. A growing church is a working church. Not a lazy church. Not a church that's just keeping house, but a church that's active and alive and working for the Lord. Our Lord said to His mother in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, "How is it that you sought me? Wist you not, know you not, that I must be about my Father's business?" Do we have that same attitude? Are we doing what our Lord, the 12-year-old Jesus, was doing in Luke 2 and verse 49? Are we willing to declare as He did, "I must be about my Father's business"? When we are about His business, we're working. Our Lord said in John 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work." We've got limited time, as our Lord understood His limited time. We've got limited time to do what God would have us to do. The night is coming. It's approaching. We've got to work while we've got day. For the night cometh when no man can work. If we believe that, believe it fully and honestly, then we will work, we'll be devoted, and we will grow. We'll grow spiritually, and we'll grow numerically. We'll be pleasing to God this day and every day, not just on the first day of the week, but every day. "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it," Psalm 118 and verse 24. I do believe in the context of Psalm 118 that the psalmist was talking about what we would call Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. But there is a sense in which I believe Wayne, that verse has application to every day. There is a sense in which every day is the day the Lord hath made. I'm grateful for every day to be alive and an opportunity to be devoted to Him and His Word. An opportunity to work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Over in Matthew 4 and verse 19, the context is our Lord calling those men who would become His apostles. And He says to Simon Peter and Andrew His brother, "Follow me," Matthew 4 and 19, "and I will make you fishers of men." The question that we must ask ourselves is, are we truly fishers of men? Or on the other hand, rather than that, are we just keepers of the proverbial aquarium? I don't want to be a keeper of an aquarium. I want to be a fisher of men. And that means I must work. There's work for Mel to do. There's work for Mel and Shana to do. There's work for Wayne and Becky to do. There's work for Billy and Janice to do. There's work for Willie and Martha to do. There's work for all of us to do. There's so much to do. Our Lord said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need more laborers. We need to strap ourselves up and in. We need to pull up our boots, tighten our belt, gird up our loins. The Apostle Paul and Jesus would say, and we need to get ready to go to work. Work for the Lord. Much of it will be spiritual, but then again it involves the physical. The use of our bodies, our legs and our hands, our arms, our minds, the use of all our faculties that God has blessed us with. We've been created in the very image of God. And our God was a worker. His work of creation, His work of sustaining all of this, keeping it glued together so that we might exist. We're alive this very moment because God wills it, because of the long suffering of God. And when God decides to call it to a close, buddy, roll, it'll come to a close. And that'll be it. But we're grateful for the time we have. Let's use it wisely in the service of the King. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul said to the church of God at Corinth, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." The word husbandry means a field. We're God's field. We're God's building. I was asking Clayton earlier about his hay business and the type of hay he grew, and he mentioned alfalfa and timothy and other varieties of grass that he grows to produce the hay. And let me congratulate Clayton and his son, the whole family, on their honor in being selected in the good way, Clayton, that y'all were. And again, we want to rejoice with those that do rejoice, and we rejoice on his part, on their part, for the good work they've done and for the recognition that they have received in the local papers and beyond for the product that they produce and the service they provide. And we're grateful for them, and I know you are here as faithful members of the body of Christ. We are laborers together with God. We're God's field. We're God's building. He works through us and in us to do His bidding on this earth. His Son has ascended, Peter said of Jesus in 1 Peter 3 and verse 22, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject unto Him. Our Lord has left, but He sent His Spirit to move men again to speak and to write. And this is the sword of the Spirit. This is the Spirit's revelation, and it's our guide today. Our direction today is provided by, again, the Word of God, the Spirit's revelation. And we utilize it in being workers for the King, workers for God, while we have time and opportunity. The last verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says in your Bible and in mine, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable," I like that language, "always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why? "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let us be laborers. Let us be workers. Do you want to grow? I know you do. I'm not asking for your audible response to that, but I know that you do. I see it in your faces. Those of you that I've gotten to know in the short time we've been here, I know that you want to be devoted to God and His Word. I know that you desire to work while you can, while your body is able, while your mind is active. We want to work for the Lord. We want to work now, as we mentioned in our class spirit, and rest in eternity. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, he saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14 and verse 13. If we would grow as God would have us to grow, then let's knuckle down. Let's get ready to work. Let's do all that we can. Years ago, I heard the former president of Fried Hardeman University, where our oldest girl is, Brother E. Clyde Gardner, who's still alive, quite elderly. I heard Brother Gardner say in Mobile, Alabama, Wayne, at a preachers and elders gathering, we had a nice meal together, that he spoke to the group gathered there. My wife and I were there. At the end of his message, he said, I want to ask you to ask yourself this. What two or three things can I do for the church this week? I like that. That's about as practical as you can get. So I ask you to ask yourself this morning, at the end of our second of 3 points this morning, during this act of worship to God, the hearing and the preaching of the Word of God, what two or three things can I do for the church this week? If you have any doubt about what you might do, then see one of your four elders here. See your preacher, Wayne. Ask them what you might do. What extra might I do? What do you think I would be good at? Could I get involved in this? I know there's good men working here. There's good women doing this. But what could I do? What two or three things can I do for the church this week? Point number three, and finally this morning, under the title of A Growing Church. We're talking briefly about characteristics, about qualities that are common to growing churches. Characteristics and qualities that we're finding in the Word of God. I'm not making these up out of thin air. I'm not dreaming these up. I didn't have a vision last night at the motel that said, Now, Mel, here's what I want you to cover in the sermon. Nothing like that happens at all. Sounds like a baked bean commercial off of TV. Something like that. No, not at all. This comes from the Word of God. We're digging it out of the Word of God. It's right there on the surface for us to pick up and take with us. Point number three and finally. A growing church, my friends, is not only a devoted church, not only a working church, number two, but number three, quality number three, characteristic number three, it is a serving church. If we would grow spiritually, then numerically, we must be willing to serve. It's hard to do at times. We're busy. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of irons in the fire. Every burner on the stove's got a pot on it that's about to boil. We've got a lot going on. Our hands, our minds are busy. So much to do. So little time to do it. You've been there. I've been there. We're there right now. Going in so many directions. At times we believe we meet ourselves coming and going. Our head spins. We get a headache. How can I get it all done? But we can. And if we let only our activities or the activities of others, if we let them overwhelm us, if we let those activities dominate us, then we won't have time for the work of the Lord. And we won't have time to serve one another. Our Lord was a servant. Other than being referenced as a teacher, our Lord is probably referenced as a servant more than anything else. Our Lord was a teacher and a servant. Matthew chapter 20 verse 28. Here's what Matthew quoted from the lips of our Lord himself. Jesus said, For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Here is God in the flesh. Here is Jesus the Christ, having left heaven. He is the Creator with the creatures. And then he came down here waiting to serve us. He came down here with a calling to serve us. Imagine that. Reread at your leisure the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. And read about our Lord getting down on his knees and washing the feet of his apostles. And read about Peter's objection to that. No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And our Lord said,
If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me and I have no part of you. And then what did Peter say? Well, what I hope we would all say, not just my feet, Lord, but my head and my hands. Well, I hope we would say that. Now, our Lord just laid it right out there for him. He said, now, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, then I have no part of you and you have no part of me. We're apart here. All Peter was right in saying, Lord, not just my feet, but my hand and my hands. That's the attitude we need to have. A willingness to serve. A verse we looked at on Friday night, I believe it was, over Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, where our Lord said, and he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Who is great in the kingdom? Who is great in the church? He who will be your servant. If we're serving one another, then, brethren and friends, we are moving towards greatness. There's nothing wrong with being great in the kingdom. Sometimes we got the idea, Wayne, that it's wrong to be great. I desire to be great in the kingdom. I hope you do as well. But to get there, we've got to be willing to serve others. What two or three things can I do for the church this week? Not only applies to be a growing church by being a working church, but be a growing church by being a serving church. Over in Philippians chapter 2, just a couple more passages and the sermon will be yours. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, the Apostle Paul said in writing to the church at Philippi, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Watch it now. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. There it is. And took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. Brother friends, Paul is talking there in that context about the humbleness and the servitude of Jesus the Christ. And what an example it is for us. We need to be humble, serving people. Because a growing church is a serving church. If we think we're too good to serve, then we're too good to be great. And if we're too good to be great in the kingdom, then we are too good for the Lord, because our Lord was the greatest, and he was the greatest because he was God, and he was the greatest because he was the greatest servant that the world has ever known. We're none of us too good to serve another. And finally this morning, I would direct your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. In that closing chapter of the 1 Corinthian correspondence, there Paul, as moved by the Spirit of God, said to the church of God at Corinth, he said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that they are the first fruits of Achaia, watch it now, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Normally, when we think of the word addicted, we think of it, we view it, do we not, in a negative way, in a negative light. He or she is addicted to this, addicted to that. They're trying to overcome this addiction. They're trying to get through it all. It's tough. We're praying for them. We're intervening on their behalf. We're doing everything we can, maybe even securing medical help, professional help, for this individual, for this family who has a bad addiction that will cost them their soul if they don't overcome it. But here it's used, Wayne, in a positive way. He is the household of Stephanas, the first fruits of Achaia. They were the first family to obey the gospel in the Greek region of Achaia. And they had done what? Had addicted themselves, a Greek term that could also be translated, appointed or ordained themselves to the ministry of the saints, the service of the saints. Here was a family that said, Clayton, we're going to serve others. We're going to be addicted to ministering to and for others. Do you think that made them great in the kingdom? Sure it did. And they're commended by an apostle and recorded on the pages of Scripture. You don't read my name on the Word of God, on the pages of the Word of God, but you read about Stephanas and his household and the good work they did. And the commendation for their efforts. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that they are the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. I know you want to grow. I want to grow. We want to grow. But to grow as God would have us grow, we must be devoted to Him and His work. We must be willing to work. Get our hands dirty in the cause of Christ, if you will. And we must be willing to serve one another. Whatever is required, whenever it is required, do what we can while we have time and opportunity. We must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Great to be with you. I appreciate your careful attention to the Word of God as I have preached it this morning. And we invite you to stay for the potluck or at all possible. I know some folks have other obligations, but stay if you can. We'll drive two or three miles down to the school, not bad at all. Drive down there. It's a beautiful day. You may want to roll down your windows. Let the wind blow through your hair. Just enjoy yourself. Come on down there. You may want to fill your plate and eat outside. I may do that myself. It's such a pretty day. You don't want to be trapped indoors. But we'll eat indoors, outdoors. If they let us on the roof, we might get up on the roof. They may lose their insurance if we do that at the school. But we'll enjoy a good meal together. Have a little time to visit. Pull off your coat. Roll up your sleeves. Loosen your tie. I must tell you now, I'm not going to preach with a jacket on this afternoon at 2. I'm going to have the jacket off. I'm going to have my tie loosened. I'd love to preach right outside. I don't know if we'd get arrested here, Wayne, doing that. I doubt it here in Horse Cave. Somebody here's probably got some influence with the police department. Might even have a police officer here. If we do, put on your gear, strap on your pistol, keep us safe, we'll just preach outdoors. I'm teasing, we're going to have to meet indoors, I'm sure, but if it's indoors, outdoors, whatever, we'll look forward to that time together. Good to be together as brethren. We've got all this in common and so much more. Stay and be with us. Enjoy the time together with Christians and get yourself equipped for the rest of the week because you're going to be besieged by Satan. People are going to tempt you to do this and that. People are going to harass you, call you every name in the book, give you the finger, cuss you out. They're going to do everything. You know what is lying ahead of you this week? Maybe not for some of you, but you know, we live in a wicked world. There's a lot going on. You go to your workplace and people don't behave like church folk. They don't behave like Christians because they're not. So let's get equipped. Let's get ready. Let's fix up our pants, put on our boots, and get ready to wade in. Get ready to wade in for Jesus the Christ. Are you a member of the Church of Christ this morning? If you are, maybe you're overwhelmed with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. Maybe you've sinned publicly. Maybe you're just overloaded. You haven't sinned publicly, but you need prayers on your behalf. You know what? We're willing, ready, and able to do that this morning. But if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, the Lord guarantees you nothing extra. Not another moment, not another breath. This may be your last. Maybe mine. Take advantage of it, of what you've got right now. And if you desire to become a member of His church that He purchased with His own blood, and you come this morning repenting of your sins, you allow Wayne to take your hand in His and to ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? When you've answered the affirmative, Brother Wayne or one of the Christian men here will immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. And you can take your place and your part with the brethren right here. The good, sound, faithful brethren that constitute you, constituting the Horse Cave Church of Christ. And then we'll work and we'll worship until we die, until the Lord comes, whichever comes first. Great to be with you. If we can help you, won't you come right now as together we stand and as we sing.